So this is the fourth year in which the EBP has operated in, huh?
Yeah, that's true. I have four folders now.
It seems unfair that we've somehow lasted longer than Arrested Development. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for January 1st, 2010. This is Mike Cavati.
Please, 2010.
Do I have to say that? I can't say 2010?
I think it's 2010.
Well, I don't, and I get to say the year. So 2010 it is. I don't know. Maybe it is 20. Okay, well, time will tell. Anyway, welcome to the show. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Hello. We are hastily recording this so we can go watch the Rose Bowl.
Oh, right. What time is that?
I think we got to be there at 4.
I want to get a little Demon Souls in.
Well, you might have some time while I'm editing.
Oh, goody. Welcome to the show, everybody. Yeah, it's been hectic with the holidays, so.
Yeah, more for sure than I thought.
So we're trying to, we weren't here last week, apologies, but we're trying to get the show this week.
Quite frankly, there wasn't much to talk about last week.
That's true.
I mean, the news of the last 2 weeks in front of me is still pretty slim. It happens every year.
Well, we're going to get to that soon enough, and then we'll, Well, geez, we don't have a quiz today, and I guess we're going to start our countdown, huh?
To, yes.
Like, our games of the year.
Yes, it is. It is January.
And in case you haven't been with us in years past, what we like to do this as a countdown. We go week by week. We start with our fifth pick, then we go all the way until we get to number one.
You want to get into some 2009 wrap-up and 2010 predictions?
Yeah, we'll do a little bit.
All right.
Just talk about what, because, you know, gotta pad this thing with something.
Shall we get to it, then?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. In the news. First of all, very exciting. Leonard Nimoy is also confirmed for the voice cast of Star Trek Online.
Hooray.
Now, what roles is he fulfilling? You know this better than I do.
And I'm pretty sure they're both doing narration
right.
And stuff. I don't know if they're doing characters.
Yeah. That'll be exciting.
Spock is gone at this point in Star Trek Universe 1.
Yes. He is back in time.
Also, Patrick Stewart was knighted, which was sweet.
Yes. We have Naughty Dog saying more co-op, maybe coming to Uncharted 2. Particularly, they want to do, like, the story-based co-op missions, but again, they stress the resources that go into that. But people demand it. They will supply it, so everyone ask for that.
Those were good. I played those. They're fun.
I only played the one. I need to play more of them.
I did a couple with Beige. It was cool. Hmm. So we always meant to get you in there so we can do three-player.
Right. In a Take-Two report of upcoming titles, curiously, NHL 2K was missing from the list, which is leading to speculation that the franchise may be dead and kind of conceding to NHL whatever from EA Sports.
EA's. Well, everyone says the EA one's better, right?
So. Yeah, it often wins Best Sports Game of the Year awards, I think like 2 or 3 years in a running now it's been getting them.
It been getting this year?
It might.
Doesn't deserve it this year.
It might. so, do you see this? There's a Little Big Planet, like, PSP accessory pack coming. And on the box, it's, like, compatible with PSP 1000, PSP 2000, PSP 3000, PSP 4000, PSP Go. PSP 4000.
Right.
Which has everyone freaking out. And then these people are trying to say it was a mistake. But the thing is, it's not like it was text. It's a graphic. How do you accidentally make a graphic for the PSP 4000 and put it on your product?
Look, I'm sure the PSP 4000 is coming.
Yeah, I mean, this is no shocker to anybody out there.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah, well, we'll save that for the prediction section.
Oh,
I have some thoughts on that. The EGM relaunch has been set for March 2010.
Goody.
Subscribe as soon as they let us, I guess, which I will do. I'm very excited. So have you listened to the Zelda reorchestration project?
I have not listened to that.
6 years ago, this guy decides he wants to reorchestrate the entire soundtrack, 82 tracks in all. And he didn't do it by himself. Other people helped, but came out last week, and I've been listening to bits of it, and it's quite good. Everyone should check that out.
Did that game not actually have, like, the Legend of Zelda theme played anywhere?
It, like, kind of played for half a second in the field. They go like, dun, 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 I don't know.
It always bothered me that the opening menu song wasn't The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, I know. Well, they fixed that Majora's Mask in subsequent releases. I think people were actually upset about that. The Duo Group, which is a kind of video firm, I guess, that does like commercials and short films and stuff, released their own Assassin's Creed fan film called Initiation. Have you seen this?
No, I saw you were kind of watching some of it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's just kind of like a prequel to Assassin's Creed, how Altair lost his finger and became a assassin.
A what?
Hashashin, or how do they say it?
Hashashin?
Yeah, they say it's like weird.
You're doing a bad Chinese accent.
Well, that's what they call themselves, Hashashin or something.
I don't think they do.
Pretty sure. Anyway.
In Assassin's Creed 2, it's Assassinito or something like that.
Okay, so Steam has been running ridiculous holiday sales for the last couple of weeks now that are continuing until, I think, January 8th, maybe January 3rd, one of the two. So this was funny. They had Prey on sale a couple days ago for one of their daily sales. Prey. They sold out.
What does that mean?
Well, that's what everyone asks, because, like, how do you sell something digital? The thing is, because that's an older game on the platform, they still have to have CD keys assigned to every purchase, and they ran out of CD keys.
Oh.
I thought that was kind of funny. They put another game up on sale in place of it, and they said they might try to bring the sale back if they get more keys. But I think that makes Prey the first game to ever digitally sell out.
Prey. Of all things.
And to wrap it up, we've got a duo of Dragon Age stories. First of all, Return to Ashigar will be released next week on PC and 360 on January 5th. The PS3 version is said to be coming later in the month. But that's going to be the DLC that lets you go back to the battlefield of Ashigar and kind of rummage it and find stuff. Then we have a rumor of a retail expansion pack coming for Dragon Age called Dragon Age Awakening. Apparently there was a listing found on an unnamed New Zealand website about this. It was priced something like, you know, you do the conversions. It's roughly like 2/3 the cost of the full game. It's like a $40 product. And, of course, with the holidays, no one's really answering questions right now, so you don't know much about it. But I think that'd be cool if they did it.
The rumor's like, what, a new origin, other things?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, all this is speculation at this point. But one could hope. So, yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah.
What do you want to do now?
I want to play Demon Souls.
Oh, shut up. What do you want to do with the podcast?
I want to do our Game of the Year thing.
Okay.
We started in 2007.
Yeah.
What was our 2007 Game of the Year?
2007.
Mine was BioShock.
I think mine was Mass Effect.
Which you still have not beaten.
Yeah.
After that year, I enforced a strict, we have to beat any games that we put in the list rule.
Yes.
Because I was disgruntled with you.
Yes. Last year was a unanimous choice of Fallout 3.
It was.
And now 2009.
Yep. Well, let's get to it. So what's your number five?
My number five is going to shock the world.
I bet.
I am putting Brutal Legend at number five on my list.
I don't know if that shocks the world. I know you liked it.
Yeah, I know. I liked it. I don't know. I just feel
there's controversy.
Yeah, I feel like just that game's getting... like, the kind of a bum chef. I mean, yes, Tim Schafer kind of pulled the whole, it's not an RTS, but it is an RTS on us. But I still think it's really good. I just think people aren't giving it a chance because they're disgruntled about that for some reason, such as yourself. But it's really good. I really like that game.
I'm not disgruntled. People don't have to take it personally that I don't like RTS games.
I understand. It's just the way it is. I just think you'd like it is all. I just think you need to play it. I mean, it's sitting upstairs.
Yeah, but I got all these shiny new games.
Yeah.
That game's so old. It came out in, like, Rocktober.
So, yes, that is my number five.
Okay.
What is your number five?
I am going to say Ratchet & Clank Future, A Crack in Time.
I thought that might show up on your list somewhere.
Yeah, I know. I never really played very much of these games before. I've started a couple of them, like, played the demo for Tools of Destruction. But this time I went in and bought it. You know, it was a really good platforming game.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked all those Clank sections with the kind of time manipulation stuff.
Yeah.
Where it felt like you were playing an indie game that was trying to be the next Portal for a second, you know? Something like that. But I thought it was a good game. I thought there was a lot to do. I liked the whole kind of, you went around your spaceship, you can land in little planetoids. I actually thought it had a pretty good final boss encounter. Looked good. I was a fan. Probably the one big standout platforming game of this year, besides maybe New Super Mario Brothers.
I guess.
But I was a fan of Ratchet & Clank. Like I said, a lot of people, it seems like the big complaint on it was that, well, we've been playing these games forever now. I haven't, so.
Yeah, that allows us kind of coming fresh.
Right, so I enjoyed Ratchet & Clank.
All right.
Probably the first of many PS3 exclusives on my list this year, oddly enough, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I had I wonder what PS3, if I had any PS3 exclusives on my list last year.
I don't think we did. No. It's amazing how, well, we'll talk about this in 2009, which we could do right now because we're done.
I was segueing.
Oh, I see what you did there. Okay.
Like, yes, we could. But wait, we have to move to the next segment. What is it? Hey, Mike.
It's the one you were talking about. What a
coincidence. You won't believe. Anyways.
Okay, so yeah, 2009. I will say, and I said this also on the 2009 Squadron of Shame wrap-up show, which should be going up shortly. I think 2009 may have actually be the year that you can legitimately call what Sony has magically been claiming forever, the year of the PlayStation 3.
It was a turnaround.
It really was.
Maybe it didn't overtake the 360 or
and it, no, it hasn't, but and like you said, there are a lot of good PS3 exclusives this year.
There are a lot of PS3 exclusives. It's finally at a good price.
Yeah.
I was saying this yesterday, just going to wrap this by. I looked at the Wii and I looked at the PS3, and I mean, it wasn't even the $300 PS3, it was the $350 one. For the argument, let's just say the $300 one. You look at the Wii and look at the PS3, for $100 more, look at like how much more you really get.
Yeah.
I know it's not just a matter of, well, features and stuff like that, but just even if I'm talking about software lineup right now. But, you know, just they went out of their way to kind of change their image.
Well, I'll tell you what, that, honest to God, those marketing, the commercials with that guy who's like the various vice presidents right. of whatever, they're really good.
Right.
I mean, they're really good.
I mean, I can't believe it's from the same people who gave us that crying baby. Oh, and God. All of the super urban commercials. Remember last year, that was the thing. It was like their like marketing strategy where all these – it's like people like walking around in like streets and like Little Big Planet and like would be showing up everywhere.
Yeah, it's like no one who's walking around with like baggy jeans down to their knees is going home and playing Little Big Planet at night.
Yeah.
And then logging in the home to hit the slash dance emote.
Home still sucks.
Yeah.
I'm assuming. I mean, I haven't been there.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's not gotten better.
No, it has not.
But I mean, but then at the same time, the PSP has had issues.
Yeah, year of the PS3, yes. Year of the PSP, not so much. Can we all just say for sure now that PSP Go is an unmitigated disaster?
I mean, well, yeah, probably.
Yes, definitely. That thing, ugh. I mean, you still to this day, you don't have. You don't have release date parity, in a lot of cases, price point parity with retail.
You guys all wanted this. You're like, digital distribution because is the future. Let's get a system where you can just download things.
Except Sony it up. I mean, look. At Steam. Look at how awesome Steam has been the last 2 weeks. It's just been hit after hit.
It's they're awesome doing these because great they're prices. Selling things ridiculously cheap.
Yeah. Why doesn't Sony ever do anything like this?
You can't just say, hey, sell things lower than they're worth. And then won't like you. It's not you can't look at Steam here and be like everything should be like that. I don't know how they're managing these sales right now, except for the fact that they're selling games that are so old. It doesn't really matter how much they sell, anyways.
But I mean, like you know, case in point was I said a few weeks ago I had this desire to get Mega Man Maverick Hunter X. It was $20 on the PlayStation Network. It was $9 used. Well, yeah, sorry, I'm gonna go buy the used copy. Just can't buy it new anywhere.
Right.
That's what I got.
What happened the first half of this year? From the beginning to Batman, did anything else come out besides Resident Evil?
Kind of notable, I would say, was the Big Surf Island DLC for Burnout.
That's not that.
I will say notable. That was my favorite piece of DLC for 2009. If there were to be such an award. Good. It was really, really good. I mean, I know you didn't play a lot of Burnout.
Are you going to pull a game show and have 50 different categories?
No, I'm just saying. I just brought it up in casual conversation.
I just wanted to dig at game
show. Yeah, I know. You had Killzone, which a lot of people seem to forget about now. Which
yeah.
I think kind of speaks to the game. Like I said.
It kind of reviewed well when it launched, but no one cares now.
The biggest problem with Killzone, the multiplayer component at least, was like when it first launched, everyone was on equal footing and it was a lot of fun. Then no one really realized this, but you started unlocking classes, and it basically became sci-fi Team Fortress 2. It really did. But the problem is, all the classes you unlocked were far more powerful than the base class, and so if you weren't keeping up with the curve, it was impossible to catch up. Everyone just kicked the shit out of you. Hmm. So that basically killed that multiplayer.
But it seems weird, because we're coming into it's going to be a really big quarter one for 2010.
It's going to be the biggest ever. It's weird.
BioShock 2.
Mass Effect 2. Star Trek Online.
Star Trek Online. Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah. God of War 3. Yeah, like a lot.
I can't even remember what came out this time last year. Like, I'm assuming nothing important came out.
Not really, yeah.
Like, we had Resident Evil 5, which ended up also being kind of a disappointment, and it's not coming up in anybody's game of the year list. It's always kind of fascinates me when, like, a spiritual successor to a game of the year falls short like that. Well, spiritual successor, I guess direct successor.
Yeah, you know. I was going to say it's got a 5 on there.
Spiritual, whatever.
We also have the DSi come out this year.
Which hasn't been a game changer.
I feel like we need to get to the point where people start making DSi-only games. Because, I mean, you know the guts of the system is more powerful.
Right.
I'm just, you know, I think people are afraid to leverage that because they're worried they'll splinter the market. But I feel like by now the DSi's got enough of an install base that they can get away with it.
I don't know.
Or even do like some iPhone games do where, like, if it's on a DSi, it'll just use that muscle for, you know, some more graphical effects or something, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, you're basically...
I think they just need to actually do something interesting with the DSi store first.
That's true. Well, and they're starting to, finally. I mean, you had things like Rayman came out, and they brought out Oregon Trail.
I just want to see. Let's put some of those Super Nintendo...
I know. They need a DSiWare virtual console. I don't know why that hasn't happened. Yeah, I don't know why. That is a license to print money for Nintendo.
I don't
know
why NES, Super Nintendo, Genesis games can't go on there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Get some Game Boy games. Open up the Game Boy virtual.
Oh, I know. You took it out, put it back in that way, and make us rebuy everything. We'll do it. We're stupid enough.
Right, exactly.
But, I mean, like, they have a kind of a situation with the DS Lite / Fat and the DSi where it could almost be like a Game Boy Color kind of thing, where you had original Game Boy games, you had Game Boy Color games, and you have, like, the black cartridge games that could run on either. Remember?
Yeah.
Like, they could do that again, I feel like.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe that didn't work out so well for them.
Well, Game Boy Color did pretty well. And then we got the Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy Color wasn't around very long, actually, when you think about it.
Really?
Just think about
I liked
that.
My Game Boy Color. I was very fond of that
system. Around
long. Tetris DX and Zelda DX were very good.
Game Boy Advance pretty quickly.
Yeah. I guess I just didn't realize that in the timeline. To look at that.
Ooh, that's a Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver coming out soon.
Yes.
Gotta catch them. Gotta catch most of them, because I don't have time to catch them all. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to say about 2009?
We
found out about our savior on live in cloud gaming and cloud computing.
I'm going to bring that up in the glimpse into the future.
Yeah. I hope we're looking far into the future here. I hope we're not talking about 2010, because that'll be a riot.
Anyway, wait, I was going to say something. You interrupted me. Oh, just, again, like, people were complaining about, first of all, you have one group of people complain that too much stuff comes out in the fourth quarter, and then you have the people complaining about the stuff that got pushed out of the fourth quarter and, like, there wasn't enough. I feel like this is a pretty damn good Q4. Like, a lot of really good games came out that I liked, and I played them all to completion, which is, I play a lot of games to completion this year, which is, I have to say, kind of rare for me, you know?
I'm also kind of noticing there's been a shift now, maybe in the media, like, you know, the journalism, and even with all the consumers, where people, more so than users, they're just starting to turn against these big AAA games.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's something, like, people are just looking for reasons to hate some of these games.
Oh, like that story on Kotaku about Uncharted 2's narrative flaws. Did you read that?
Yeah, it was the most nitpicky thing I
well,
ever
read. Well, no, but the thing the guy was complaining, the guy, yeah, the guy was complaining about how Nate's all concerned about not killing the guards in the first part of the game, but he had no problem ripping that one guy off a ledge and throwing him down below, and the guy's like, he didn't mind killing that guy. But when you look, you can see that guy's swimming and swim to a rock. He's not dead. You throw him in the water.
Right. So the whole basis for his argument was...
Yeah.
But, like, that's so... Like that guy's like, look, Uncharted 2 is not nearly as cool as you think it is because of this. Nowhere did he say because it's not as much fun as it is.
Yeah.
But...
People who bag on Uncharted 2, I don't get that at all.
We had Destructoid's 4.5 out of 10 review for Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
Which, and the guy's complaint was, what, it didn't fix anything from... Or everything it tried to fix from the first game just sucks.
I'm all for, like, you know, it's like, hey, guys, get over it. It's just a review. Okay, that's a 4.5.
Yeah,
that's kind of.
And again,
silly.
I mean,
if he gave it a 7, I wouldn't get upset.
And what I hate to say too is it's irresponsible in this age where, like, Metacritic really matters to a publisher and developer's bottom line. To do that, it's almost like a dick move.
Yeah, but you can't think. There's a problem there because you can't think about that when you want to review.
I understand that, but you can't. I can't see how you can objectively or subjectively look at that game and give it that score. Even if you think it does have some problems, which I'll admit it does, I don't see how you can go 4.5 out of 10.
I guess, like, you just – it's interesting. It's more of an argument for me of just getting rid of the scores altogether.
I know. I mean, I kind of like the way Kotaku does reviews, really, where they just have a few paragraphs on pluses, a few paragraphs on minuses, general thoughts.
That's fine. Those are good. Joystick just doesn't do a score, and I like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just something I'm getting sick of. But, you know, even still, when you listen to a lot of podcasts, even, you hear the people talking, they're talking so much about what – they're talking about the game of the year. They're like, talking about indie games and iPhone games almost as if they're just kind of getting sick of these big games because they're getting sick of it. And they're, like, they love this whole new, like, oh, I can play a game for 5 minutes thing.
And, like, get the whole thing done.
For 30 hours in 2 days and then review it. You know, people are like, I want to get Plants vs. Zombies game of the year. I'm like, okay, come on. Step back.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, it's fun.
I know we're excited. But Joe Blitz, game of the year. Like,
I mean,
whoa.
You know what? Free Cell on my Windows PC is fun, but geez.
Right. It's such a trying to, like, you know, I know that, you know, all those AAA games, they're the man and stuff, but come on. That's still our bread and butter, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
listen, those are the games that are going to give the industry mainstream credibility. You're not going to see, like the developers of Bejeweled Blitz going on Jimmy Fallon. No, it's Tim Schafer making Brutal Legend.
At the same time, we have that. I don't know how important that is for us. Every time I just see the game industry just try to mimic the movie industry.
Yeah, I agree with that. They don't need to mimic. They need to find their own voice. But, oh, God, I forget where I heard this. It might have been
I can hear some people saying, well, you love Uncharted 2 so much. Like, Uncharted 2 is not great because it's like a movie. That's the criticism against that game. It's just like a movie. It's still very much a game.
Yeah. Now, I think this is on a Four Guys 1-Up. I can't remember who said it, but the guy was saying, you know, when you think about it, the movie industry is a 100-year-old industry, and it does its thing. We're still
young.
In our infancy. And, like, don't even count the entire history of video games. Let's start to where story actually started to matter in video games, which you could argue has maybe only been the last 10, 15 years.
I would argue it's been maybe the last year.
Yeah.
Just think about, like, Gears of War, when that came out, that was acceptable. No one in the reviews for that game said almost jack about the story. Then almost immediately after that, people were saying, yeah, Gears of War is fun, but its story is shit.
Yeah.
Because,
you know,
that was like the time
more
where
like
all of a sudden.
More like 10 shitloads.
What? Yeah, all of a sudden. And it was like, wait, you can't just fill a game with these cliches and stuff.
Yeah.
Then very quickly now, we started, I don't know, there was a change. Not to say there weren't games with good stories before that.
Yeah, but I mean, sure. like I'll just say right now, all the games in my top five of 2009, one of the deciding factors in a lot of those games was the story.
See, I don't know for me still. I still say the story's not at a point where it's more important than the game right now.
It's not more important, but it was a factor that put a lot of them over the edge over some other games.
Like, I wouldn't say Ratchet & Clank had an amazing story.
Right.
Or anything like that. I don't know. I still don't think there's that many games that have very good stories still.
There's been some. There's always been some. Like I said, we're still trying to figure that out.
Especially with, like, these big RPGs, it's hard to tell when a story is good because it's so big and long, you get invested in it anyways.
Right.
Like, how can you judge Dragon Age's story, really?
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, 50 hours into that thing, you're there, and, you know, there's things going on, and you're invested in it. It's hard for you to tell, well, is this a well-constructed story? And, you know, it used to be we didn't care, we didn't notice, and now it's like this pressure, like, well, quick, judge this medium. How good is this story? Is that filled with cliches? Have you heard that, you know? It gets a little overbearing sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes I feel like we should go back to basics a little bit, which I guess is a lot of things the end of – but I don't – when I say back to basics, I don't mean – you know, let's just make every game Bejeweled. Just in our perception of things a little bit. Where we don't sit down there and we don't look for reasons to hate as much.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look, you know, everybody is an amateur games journalist these days.
Yes.
You know.
That's very true.
Everyone wants to get on their blog and write a review about something. Everyone's looking for something to say. You know, if everybody loves Uncharted 2, hey, get some hits and write about why Uncharted 2 is not that sweet. Or Modern Warfare 2 or anything else like that, you know?
Right.
And you know, it's Web 2.0. it's where we're at right now. Everyone has a voice, whether we like it or not. And, you know, there's a lot of good to come from that. But it's also slightly annoying.
Right.
So you want to look at the future now?
Yes. Let us look into the EBP crystal ball.
You see, usually whenever we do this, I always think about kind of like the distant to next year. But, I mean, there's so much immediate. There's already commercials for BioShock 2. I was like, is that coming that soon? Oh, shit.
Yeah. You kind of forget.
So we got BioShock 2's big. I'm still very excited for Final Fantasy 13.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited for Dark Void.
But besides the software lineup, what is the
So, first of all, one thing we should address is all these rumors that seem like they'll come to fruition next year of a PlayStation Network subscription.
Maybe. I don't know. If they do that, it better be a better service.
Yeah, that's the thing, is so many people who, especially the people who own both systems, are already Xbox Live subscribers. It's got to be really damn appealing to get them to want to subscribe to both services. You know?
Right.
Or even cancel their Xbox Live subscription and subscribe to that instead.
I still don't know how much stock I put in this. I mean, there's also rumors that Xbox Live's price was going to increase.
Oh, that was just Michael Pachter. I mean, that's all it was.
Okay. I don't know about this. We'll see. I'd be surprised.
I also think this might be the year we might have to see at least an announcement about a PSP2 proper. Because here's the thing. The PSP Go, I think one of the driving factors behind that for Sony was a way to stop piracy. Because they've sold a lot of PSPs, but they don't sell a lot of software.
Right.
And you have, I think, Sam Houser, the rock star with GTA Chinatown Wars. The number of people playing that game is something like 3 or 4 times the number of people who bought it.
Hmm.
Like, the piracy rate on it is astronomical. And, you know, the PSP Go is an attempt at curbing it, but that didn't work. Anything else you do, you're still going to have the PSP 1 through 3000 series out there and still capable of pirating these games. You really do kind of need to just relaunch.
It's hard for them to do that before Nintendo's made a big move with a successor to the DS.
Well, and then we had Nintendo talking about, and I think if Nintendo does it, Sony almost has to, but I think they should too, is having this kind of always-on 3G connection, like a WhisperNet kind of thing. Do you think that's going to happen with either of these handhelds, maybe even this year?
I mean, it could.
I think it's a good idea. I think one thing what they don't do, though, is like the game has to log into the server every time you play. And you're like, I'm in a tunnel or like, you know, I'm just somewhere where I don't have cell phone signal. Like, can I not use my PSP? I'm on an airplane. Like, what the hell? So hopefully they're smart about it.
But I think it's time to at least announce a new DS or new Nintendo handheld system.
Mm-hmm.
The DS is older now. I mean, I know they keep, you know,
The hard thing for Nintendo is they're still selling these things so much. Like, what's the incentive to make another one?
They're selling a lot of Game Boy Advances still, too.
True.
Usually they just kind of, you know, they say, all right, let's move on. You can't become too complacent with these things.
I mean, I know that, and you know that. The question is, do they know that?
And, I mean, in years past, this would be the time where we would have already heard about the next systems.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know. We would have heard about the next Xbox. The Xbox 360 came out in 2005.
Yeah.
It's going to be 5 years old.
Yeah, it's impressive.
The Xbox 360 is older now than the Xbox was when it was replaced by the 360.
Wow, that's right.
So.
That's weird.
Right.
And the thing is, too,
I don't feel like we're going to get those in the
next. No, but I don't even feel like we should be. Usually, like, you kind of get that kind of like, okay, we've done everything we can do with these consoles. Let's get the new hardware out there. Let's go, let's go. I don't have that sense. Just like that kind of like sixth sense you get where you're like, you know, it's time for the next thing. I honestly don't feel like that.
I think like in the future, we always had PC games as like, because they would always be evolving. We would look at PC games and say, oh, we have to catch up with that now. Our console games don't look as good. But now that PC gaming is where it is, the rut it's in, you don't
have
that
true.
Anymore.
That is true. It's kinda hard actually, to say. That's very true.
It's hard to say, like, well, what does the next gen even look like? I don't know. Because anything the PC can do, pretty much these home systems can do.
It's something I was talking about a long time. I think we're getting to that point now where you're going to be getting diminishing returns on graphics. It's going to come to things like physics and AI and you know, things like that that are really going to push the visual fidelity of a game forward. I mean, you can only push so many polygons.
Like, how much better does a game need to look than, say, Metal Gear Solid 4?
Yeah.
Which came out last year.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. It's interesting. Still, you have the Wii, which is, it's getting old for everyone, I think.
You at least not concede that we might at least get an announcement of the Wii HD this year?
Like, see, I don't E3. Like this Wii HD thing. Maybe Wii 2, the next Wii.
I feel like, what do you mean by when you say Wii HD?
I'm talking basically the difference between a DS Lite and a DSi. No. Do that with the Wii.
We're not going to get that. We'll get the new Wii before we get that.
Do you think it'll at least keep complete backwards compatibility?
Yeah, sure, why not? They always
so, will the Wii 2 have a significantly different like controller or anything?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll change something. Well, you're trying to say to me that it will be a Wii HD.
Yeah, I was kind of going that way.
Yeah, but
well, no. I mean,
look, Nintendo's. I think Nintendo can sense the tighter. They know that they need to do something new again already.
Right. Okay.
I mean, there's no reason for them to hold on. I mean, how long was? I wonder how long the NES was around until the Super Nintendo came out.
Yeah.
Can't quite figure it out in my head right now, but you know, that was longer than normal console's life cycle.
Right. And then this is going to be the year we get both Natal and the still unnamed PlayStation 3 motion controller.
And it'll be the year we find out no one cares.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
I hope they're both good. I mean, I'll say the same thing about these I want to say about OnLive. I hope they work because these are things I want.
Why do you want these?
I just think it's cool.
Okay, look, this was cool. Like 3 years ago. I'm over it now. I'm over holding a controller and like, oh, I'm swinging a sword. I'm over that shit.
Well,
look, it's not exciting anymore. It's not enough, babe. Not good enough, babe.
Here's the thing. I feel like on a Nintendo system where, let's face it, Nintendo is still the dominant publisher, the top gaming talent isn't focusing on the Wii, which is why we're really not seeing anything beyond mini game collections and sword swinging games. I feel like when you put the motion controller on the PS3, which for all intents and purposes functions very similarly to a Wii controller with Wii Motion Plus, and you get actual top-tier game studios using that, I think we might finally get to see some interesting things done with that controller input.
Interesting, but they won't be look, to play any sort of video game on your Wii, and I don't mean Wii Sports or Wii Fit or anything, to play a game, something that like we would have come to expect from a game, you either have to plug in a god-awful-looking nunchuck to the thing so you have some more buttons, or turn the fucking thing on its side like an NES controller to play it. You can't play a game with just holding something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
and Natal, tell me how you make a game with that. I understand how you kick a ball back and forth. I understand that you play Arkanoid with it. How do you make a game?
Well, again, I don't see Natal games proper being controlled strictly with just Natal. I think it's going to be a combination of Natal and the controller.
But what would that do? You can't go balls to the walls right away because not everyone will have Natal.
Well, yeah.
So if they're always going to be optional things, like Fable 3, it'll have Natal compatibility, but it'll be all optional. So it won't really mean anything. So it'll be like, oh, that's kind of neat if you have Natal, but we don't want to upset anyone who doesn't have Natal because no one will have Natal.
It's a lot about Natal is going to depend A, on the price point, and B, what I've been hearing is Microsoft may be trying to strip some technology out of it to get it to the price point they want. One thing, and they were talking about this on the last Four Guys One Up, I guess, is that they might be taking – Natal has its own processor. They might be taking that processor out and just offloading that to the 360's processor, which means you lose CPU cycles for your game, which actually is a lot of developers upset, I guess, if that is the case, which I agree with. I don't think they should do that. I mean, what do you think would be a good price for Natal?
I still don't understand. Is it a box? What is Natal?
It's like the camera that plugs in a USB port in the 360.
$50?
I would say 60 to 70 at most, and throw in some games with it, you know?
If it's $50 and it comes with two games, it's still failing. I don't care.
I mean, honestly, the pack-in that they put with that, as long as it's compelling, I mean, that could make or break it. I mean, let's face it. A large part of the Wii's success was that every one of them comes with Wii Sports.
Look, the 360 does not appeal to these families. It does not appeal to this Wii crowd. They've tried this shit
I'm not
before.
Saying Wii crowd. I'm just saying...
What crowd, then?
The gamers, the people who have 360s, who they want to say, you like your 360, you play it
but
online.
But gamers hate motion controls. We're all sick of it.
Where'd you get that demographic from?
I would stand by that. Well, yeah, you haven't noticed how everyone's been turning against the Wii lately? You haven't noticed that? You haven't picked up on that?
Again, I say the Wii's still biggest problem is Nintendo. What games not published by Nintendo found success on the Wii in 2009?
No, no. The Wii has a problem that's much more basic and at the fundamentals of it. And, you know, it's something that people said in the beginning, and I hate to say it now, but it's gimmicky.
Yeah, I know.
It's a little gimmicky.
I know it is. That's and why I don't, honestly, the only Wii game I bought this year, the only two, was Wii Sports Resort, which is more gimmicks, but at least it's fun, and Mario. Those are the only two Wii games I bought all year.
You can have fun with Wii games. Say we can have fun with, you know, preschool toys. You can push that little cart around that makes the balls go, and you can say that's fun. Okay? Get your light bright out, everybody. Wii, game of the year. Because aren't we having fun? Oh, but look, God. It's not... They're toys, you know? Wii Sports Resort is a toy. It's a game, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, when you're flying a little airplane around by holding your Wiimote like a paper airplane in your hand, yeah, it's a toy. I'll give you that. I agree completely.
Like I said, I
just want to see what actual top-tier game developers with actual top-tier hardware and these peripherals can do. I feel like there's a potential.
And you have something like Mario Galaxy, and it's neat.
Yeah, and Mario Galaxy is fantastic. But no one outside of Nintendo's is putting that kind of resources into a Wii game.
Still, how much did Mario Galaxy depend on the Wii?
Not to a great extent. Yeah, I'll agree with you.
None of the great games have.
Yeah.
Really.
We'll see. Zelda, I wonder how the Zelda with Wii Motion Plus is going to be. Don't you hate, though, that because of the Wii, Link's become a righty?
That doesn't bother me too much. I don't know. So what about on live? You really think that's happening still?
I mean, it's in beta. He just, the guy who does come, I forget his name, he just gave a big speech and demonstration at Stanford, I think, which I haven't gotten to watch yet. I do want to watch like some of it just to see it. But, again, I want that to work. I think that'd just be a great thing. I know it is. And you have to at least agree with me on this. If it doesn't happen this year, it's going to happen. Not necessarily on live.
I'm not a scientist. I'm not a hardware expert. I don't know. I don't understand the logic behind it. They're saying words, and I guess it sounds logical. I don't really understand if you can do that. That's all I'm saying. Let's just move on.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Anything else you think is going to happen in 2010?
Big-wise, no. I mean, I'm sure we'll have some big game announcements and stuff like that. I don't know. I think the PS3 and 360 sales are going to level out. Not level out, but they're going to be pretty much the same is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but see, the problem is with that is the 360 still has the lead right now. So
okay.
Sony needs to make a move to catch up.
It's not a race. You know?
I understand. I'm just saying. I'm playing a little devil's advocate with this.
Right. And you know, obviously, the PS3 isn't a huge it's not the PS2. They've lost some market share with this one.
Yeah.
And now they're just, you know, if they're really in for it for the 10-year or less cycle, we'll see.
Here's a question. What do you think is going to be the state of gaming in 3D this year? You think that's going to catch on, or is that a 2011 thing?
Don't you need the TVs to do that first?
Yeah.
Well, first those TVs have to get some market penetration. I think we might start seeing some of it this year, but I don't think anyone will get to play it until next year.
I think it'll be out there. I mean, the PS3.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, it'll be out there, but I won't, you know.
No, technically, the Avatar game supports it right now, I think.
Right. Okay, so maybe that's coming. I don't know. It's hard to say what that's going to be like.
Well, CES is next week. I'm sure we'll be getting a lot of 3D TV news out of that.
All right. What have you been playing?
All right, it's a special Christmas edition of what you've been playing. I'll start off with the Christmas gift.
Of our weekend gaming.
Yes, I'm sorry. A very thoughtful Christmas gift you got me that I was not expecting was Heroes of Might, which is Might and Magic Clash of Heroes on the DS. Holy crap, is this game awesome. Everyone needs to go get this game. I honestly didn't know much about it, just that Tycho at Penny Arcade like is in love with it. And, you know, I like DS RPGs a lot, so I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll put this in and play it. First of all, what I didn't realize, and it helps, it makes a lot more sense when you know this going into it, it's made by the guys who made Critter Crunch,
right.
The very nice iPhone and PS3 puzzle game. And you play these RPG battles, they're basically a puzzle game. And the thing is, if I try to describe in the show, it's not going to make any sense. But when you're playing it, it's super intuitive and really cool. So just go get it. It's really great. I like it a lot. You pick something. I need to think.
Okay.
Trying to remember everything.
I got SmackDown vs. Raw 2010.
Yeah.
Which is great because, you know, it's like all the other games in that series. But they've added some, you know, it's like
all these yearly games. They add some things.
I like the kind of – there's more of a transparent HUD in this one.
Yeah, the HUD's more transparent. What I just like is that there's a video editor, so now your created superstars kind of have – they have their own video playing on the Jumbotron while you come out and stuff like that.
That's always been the most appealing thing about these games to me. Not even so much the wrestling. Is all the creative options.
Right.
I like playing with that stuff.
You got a point now. You got to create a finisher, create your character, create this. You know, there's even like a paint tool now. So I made Gordon Freeman. I gave him a little Lomba symbol and I put him on there. It's pretty good. It's fun. Also, really one of the big things, though, is that they've eliminated a lot of the load times.
That's good.
That's really like the
that
big thing.
That game had long load
right.
times.
So that's all gone. So, no, that's been fun. I picked up Demon's Souls very recently with some of my Christmas money.
How's that going for you?
It's hard, but it's fun. You know, it's neat because you almost get sort of like that Ico or Child of the Closet kind of feeling you're playing. That sort of eerie loneliness, you know?
Right.
And, you know, it's very much, you know, whereas so many action games these days are very fast, Demon's Souls is intentionally very slow. It's very much, you know, shield, parry, attack.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard. Like, I just ran into some guy who looked no different than every other enemy besides his eyes glowed a little bit. He hit me one time, I had full health, and I died.
Oh, my God.
Right. So, you know, you go, just doesn't
go sound
back.
Fair.
And, right. It's hard. You know, it's really fun. Like, you know, I've just gone a little bit into it, but it seems fun so far.
Okay.
I bought Torchlight for $5. I haven't played that.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, I played a bit of Torchlight. Man, that game's good. That game's really good. Right. I like it a lot. Another game I got on the Steam sale I want to talk about is Defense Grid The Awakening. You heard of this game?
No.
It's also on 360 as an XBLA game. It's basically a tower defense game, but it's really good. Most notably, the AI that kind of works with you that you're trying to protect, it's very well written. It's got kind of almost like a Portal-esque dialogue thing going on where it's like this snooty-sounding British guy, but it's like defense AI. It's really good. I like it a lot. It's also very pretty. It's a very nice-looking game. God, what else did we play? I'm trying to remember everything. I feel like there's more.
Probably. Why don't we wrap it up anyways?
Okay.
I'm getting.
We have releases.
I'm getting tired. Let's do these releases.
Okay, so Nintendo's the only people who put out releases this week downloadably. We have Castlevania, The Adventure Rebirth.
Oh, cool.
Eat, Eat, Fight, Rabbids Lab, and The Magic Obelisk. On Virtual Console, they put out Pilot Wings for the Super Nintendo. DSi got Oregon Trail, Sudoku Sensei, Glow Artisan, Master of Illusion Express, Psychic Camera, and Arcade Hoops Basketball. I should mention it. Last week's Virtual Console game was Smash Brothers for the 64.
Oh, right.
I think it was like the 500th game or something. Xbox, we have Gears of War is an Xbox original now for $20. Xbox Live Arcade last week got Zero Day Attack on Earth and Polar Panic. PlayStation 3 last week got Battle Fantasia, Polar Panic, and they've bundled all three of the, well, really, it's three of the four Pixel Junk games into a $20 bundle.
Not the first one.
Then Racer or whatever, yeah. PlayStation 1, Wing Commander 4 was released.
I haven't tried Shooter yet. I need to play that.
Shooter's good. On the PSP, Savage Moon, the Hera campaign, which is, again, a tower defense game, I believe. Aedes Eclipse, Me and My Katamari, and Football Manager Handheld 2010. And a new PSP Mini, Bowling 3D.
Oh, goody. Bowling. All right.
Let's see what's for real.
I guess the Wii has the best bowling game ever.
That's true.
Oh, 360 and PC, we have Divinity 2, Ego Draconis. All right. What's this Mega Man Legends?
It says release date canceled.
I think they didn't update their thing.
Yeah, the list is all screwed up.
Monster Hunter. Okay.
Hang on. Yeah, you know what? Nothing's coming out.
Everything's canceled. All right. Oh, that's the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronshame.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel.
Also, very soon, like I said earlier, we should have the Squadron of Shame 2009 retrospective show going up soon. Also, we're going to be recording a decade wrap-up show, I guess, in a couple weeks here. And that should be incredibly long.
Also, I work at Bitmob now, so go to Bitmob again.
Yeah, read the Warcraft hero. He's my favorite.
You are a guy. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you again next week. Have a good new year.
Bye.